It's got dead squirrels, Confederate battle strategy, and the cyclical resurgence of white racism.
Did he go to high school with us, Tashi?
No, he like...
He
was,
didn't
I remember
he was,
Ashi
he was
the dog.
He was at Glasgow.
They
he
caged him in a bone cage.
Because I remember him...
What is that? What is that?
That's what I brought as a treat.
What is it?
Treat.
Is it a cookie? I mean, what is it?
Some kind of cookie bar?
Just describe it. What is it?
7-Eleven cookie bar?
Treat. Treat.
7-Eleven treat bar.
Treat.
You're just throwing it on that pizza box.
Like, it makes an awesome sound.
Tashi told me some story in like 7th grade about how he...
Isn't there like a Tashi station or something?
Yeah.
It's on like Tatooine.
You get power converters or something.
Yeah.
Get some power converters.
Power converters.
But Tashi said something. He was telling some story about how he killed a squirrel and he skinned it, and he was like drying out the skull because he wanted to like make a necklace out of the skull. And I don't know. The problem with him was I don't know if he was telling the truth or not, but you could buy it. You know, in 7th grade him, you could see him beating a squirrel to death.
Dan Glabitz knew Tashi.
Did he?
I don't know.
He must not have. Because
what happened
to
this Tashi guy? Did he go to Jeb Stuart?
No, he disappeared. He was one of the many who disappeared. I don't know if he went to
I think he went like bad kid high
like
school.
Went to Poe or something, or Holmes. There were always those kids that somehow went to like...
He was there till the end, but he didn't go to Stuart.
I mean, not Poe or Holmes. They went to some like high school like Annandale or something. Like
he went to like a bad person high school.
Like, because Glasgow had weird borders where sometimes people went to other high schools.
Yeah.
Sometimes it wasn't even like a high school that made sense. Sometimes.
Like Molly was supposed to go to Annandale, right? But like...
Well, yeah, but
special,
IB.
The special dispensation.
The Mr. Roiland's IB.
Yeah, or just like she went to Belvedere or something.
Yeah, I went to Belvedere.
Yeah.
But I was going to go to, you know, Stuart no matter what.
Now it's going to be Justice High School.
I'll go down to Justice.
Looking forward to that.
That's where
wolf.
I go.
They got that wolf head.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny looking, but
I go down
whatever.
To Justice, yeah.
I think they should just keep that dude on the horse. That's cool. Like, I don't find that part offensive.
Hey,
but maybe it is.
Go down to Justice.
I like the idea of using the mascot. One of the ideas was to call them the Warriors, so they'd be like the Justice Warriors.
Right.
But they were like, that would trigger the GOP people. Because the GOP people are easily triggered and offended.
Go down to Justice.
Going down to Justice.
You know, like, for some reason I was bored one day and I like signed up in some sort of like Jeb Stuart alumni thing
Justice,
where they just send me emails about bullshit get-togethers. But now like all it is like people were just, and I think it's just the same person, and they're just sending like the survey results of like surveys taken where like it's like, you know, you shouldn't change the name basically.
That's
the point they're trying to make, and it's always like, and that's all it ever is. Except one time it was like this guy, and he was talking about some like game, video game that he had on like Weed Box or something, and I was like,
Weed Box.
It was this guy Mike Kearney who was like a trombone player like back in the day. He was
Weed
total,
Box is an emulator.
He was totally like this like
going down to
like,
Justice,
fuck up guy. Like he was always like getting in trouble and goofing around. But like he was kind of a hilarious guy. It's like, he probably is still a hilarious guy now, and it's certainly better than like whoever these Nazis are that keep like doing this shit.
Go down to Justice. It's
like,
these survey results, and I'm like, because like I was about to be like, if all I'm gonna get is these survey results, I'm getting
done.
Off of this shit.
Yeah.
But then it was like, oh, this guy, whoa.
No, it's
Justice.
It's bizarre when you have to deal with that, but like. I'm glad there were some other
like
people
who,
that came in.
I just don't understand why people
we'll
care so much. Like
we'll
people have a
tendency.
There's a. I think that people have a psychological bias towards stability, and that's one of the things that helps maintain traditions. The problem the problem is that traditions develop. They usually develop for some reason, but then they can eventually become maladaptive because. Whatever the original thing they evolved for is no longer valid, or you can sort of have epi-traditions, sort of like epi-phenomenon versions of traditions that are sort of a side effect of something that was meaningful, but then like it turns into this weird other thing. I mean, like the tradition of not eating shellfish or pork products, that was purely...
That's like some Leviticus.
Yeah, but I mean, it was basically, there was a reason for it, which was, you know.
You lived in the desert.
Infection, you know, you get bad infections. People figure that out. They're like, oh, if you eat this, there's like you eat some pig, you eat some shellfish, there's a high probability you're going to get some like trichinosis, you know, salmonella, something like that. So
it was only like people way up north that ate that stuff.
Yeah, well, you prevent that spread of disease by like telling people not to eat stuff. It makes sense. But the problem is eventually, you know, you figure out, oh, here's how we can make it so we don't get that, you know, and we can be confident about it.
We will cook it more.
Yeah. And like not let the pigs, like not slaughter the pigs in their own shit.
Yeah.
That type of stuff.
I started Harry's.
But the thing is you get a maladaptive tradition, and it's things like that, like with the whole loving the South and all that other stuff. It's a manufactured thing that didn't come about until like the 50s. But people also have a bias to thinking that things always were the same.
Well, Magic yeah, seven I mean, layer it's bar all you. Like it's, you know, okay, so the Civil War happened, and seven then there was like some Reconstruction, and then like the whole time, you know, the myth is sort of building, and then sort of like the, and then it just like, you know, people have just sort of built onto the myth, and.
But there were some fulcrum points, and one of them was, you know, World War One, post-World War One period was an area where there was a rise in thing, and you know, partly that's related to industrialization and minorities growing in status.
Rise in the Klan.
Yeah, the Klan was, I mean, a lot of racism. Racism does not need to exist if the target of the potential target of the racism is so weakened and so down that they are not a threat, right? It's not that racism doesn't exist. It, of course, still exists, but not in the same kind of aggressive and vocal way. Because in the 20s, you start seeing people get, you know, a rise in minority power and a reactive force, which is the rise in the Klan and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the big thing with the Civil War came in the 50s and 60s with the Civil Rights Movement. That was a real threat to the white Americans. And so they embraced the closest thing that could, you know, help politely convey their racism in a way, which is like, oh, I'm just, you know, those boys fought hard for what they believed in, and pretending like what that wasn't slavery,
right? Yeah.
And you still have people who think that, but the problem is I don't think it's a good excuse ultimately, because A, you should know better by now, and B, like with the changing of the name of the school, like, it's like, sure, if you know nothing about it, you're like, oh, I don't know, who cares? But then if you learn who Jeb Stuart was, if you learn that the name of the school was chosen, like, it was changed at the last minute specifically to make a point.
It was a school built in 1959 or something.
Yeah. And they were making a point about, like, desegregation just was happening, and they were like, fuck this, we're going to make a point by naming our school after, like, a piece of shit, like, a guy who is especially known for being cruel to black people. You know,
yeah, like he was not the greatest guy in that regard. Like, you know, a lot of those guys were
none of them were great.
Everybody was a racist, but like, you know, a lot of them were gentlemen.
Yeah, they didn't necessarily take joy in it. He took joy in it. Yeah, it seemed like. But also, the other thing is it's not like he's a particularly amazing dude. The debate gets more complicated with folks like Robert E. Lee. And
he's
stuff.
One of those guys that has really been talked up because he was such a character.
Yeah.
Like, and yeah. So he really got into the myth of like the big three, like the Lee
fits in.
And the Jackson and the Stewart. These were the guys that couldn't be beat.
Yeah.
And they were the Like they weren't, you know, yeah. So those are the guys that get lionized the most. The other guys that were like often like the smarter guys are often not as lionized or worse. But you know, you have like a war where, you know, you have a bunch of dudes like that are generals, and most of those guys are going to be a bunch of bozos anyway, like on both sides.
Yeah,
you only have a few guys on both sides that are actual, like, you know, guys that can get things happening. You know, Lee is very lionized.
Is he the Keith Jakarta?
And he was often like not at his peak. Like he certainly did some wild stuff. And he was certainly a smart guy, but he was not always, like, on point at all.
Well, and also a lot of that, I mean, I'm not a military tactician, but just from what I've read, my understanding was, is given Lee's knowledge of the status of his troops and resources versus the North. His strategy was less about winning and more about surviving as long as possible.
Yeah,
it was almost inevitable that at some point, if the North didn't eventually just give up through attrition, like that was their best scenario for winning was attrition.
He knew how to fight because towards the end is when he came up with like trench warfare. It's when like they came up with the Confederate guys.
What are you talking about? The guitar pick? Oh, you need to get the guitar out.
And they were just fighting a defensive war, and Grant just kept going at them. But they were totally making these crazy trenches where they were just like blast dudes, and a bunch of guys would die, and it was terrible. But that was like the beginning, like that was like pre-World War One stuff, like trench warfare.
Yeah, because then they were also invented the machine gun, but it wasn't quite what it was a few years later.
Yeah. But the Confederates like basically invented like this sort of like trench warfare and like sort of like this, like they were just sort of like having these little sieges all across Virginia, and like the Union would just kind of like they kept running at them, and they would a bunch of dudes would die, and they would hang out there for days, and then they would move on, like because eventually like the Confederates would like get up and leave,
yeah,
and sneak off, and then like set up another crazy like set of like defenses. But of course, like the Union had a ton of dudes, and they would just keep coming.
Yep, that's always
so
helpful.
So then they like stopped at Petersburg, and that's where they got trapped, and that was like basically the end. And that dragged on for like a year. Some fucked up shit.
Yeah,
like,
the end often drags
like
on.
The
too
Civil
long.
War was just a horrible, horrible, horrible time.
They tend to be. Most of these war things.
Yeah. Well, most. Yeah, it's war, but like. That just must have been like the worst period of American history, like to like live through that.
Like. So far.
Yes. So far. I guess the next Civil War is going to be pretty bad too.